Mikey Pod on the Bayou, episode 18, baby. Yeah.
Welcome to the Mikey Pod on the Bayou show. Yeehaw.
That's not what this show's about.
It ain't.
No. Here, watch this. Welcome to Mikey Pod on the Bayou. Texas, it's not just for cow-tipping rednecks.
Hello, welcome to Mikey Pod on the Bayou. This is episode 18. I'm changing levels and stuff today. I really hate when people complain about that, but look at me. Look at what I'm doing. What's become of me? Hi. I'm in a pretty good mood today. It's October 4th, and it sure is. I'm doing my show. Yeah, I've been setting this up for a little bit this morning. I think, God willing, that whistle is gone. I hate it. I hate it so much. But hopefully it's gone. Oh, down the line, hopefully I'll be able to get some new equipment. But right now, as you know, I'm raising money. And you can hear more about that later. I think I'll talk about it more. And I don't want to spend a lot of time begging. But if you want to donate some money so I can buy new equipment to record this, blah, 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 I'll do it later. Or you can go back and look at the thing. Hey, check it out. I'm going to get my show notes. Huh. And see if maybe that'll get me back on track. Today is October 4th. It's a lovely day. It's October. It's starting to cool off down here in Houston, Texas. My name is Michael. I am your host for Mikey Pod on the Bayou. If you'd like to call into the show, the number is 206-339-6682. I have some listener voicemail coming up later, which that's pretty exciting. This is my first time to have that. Or you can email me at mikeypod@gmail.com. Welcome new listeners. There are 79 of you starting, or as of today. It fluctuates a lot, and I'm obsessed about looking at it like every day. So that's cool. This is the most number of subscribers I've had. But the way things go, it could drop down to like 60 tomorrow. So there you go. Today's show, I've got an interview with Dominic Walsh. If you are a subscriber, you probably already have seen the video sort of preview I put up yesterday. Or late last night, and which confirmed my need for a Mac. It's official. Now, I've been kind of wavering about, do I really want a Mac? Not that I have any money to buy one right now, but I worked on it all day getting that video up, and I never was able to do it, and there's a program for Mac that was free and did it beautifully, and it wasn't fast, but it did it. So, anyway, Dominic Walsh, I have an interview with him later today. Bicycle Mark, why can't I think of the word activism? I had the same problem last week. Activism 101 with Bicycle Mark. And then, of course, Lawrence Simon has a 100-word story for us. First up, I have a request for you. This is my friend... I think I just made a glitch happen. We'll see. My friend Tim in Boston, he asked if I could track down this song. The Homecoming Queen's Got a Gun. Remember this? This is Julie Brown.
Queen's got a gun.
around and did a flip. It was real acrobatic, but I was crying so hard I couldn't work my Instamatic. I ran down to Debbie. I had to find out what made her do it. Why'd she freak out? I said the bullet had got her right in the ear. I knew then the end was near. So I ran down and I said in her good ear, Debbie, why did you do it? She raised her head, smiled, and said, I did it for Johnny.
Johnny? Well, like, who's Johnny? Answer me, Debbie, who's Johnny? Does anybody here know Johnny? Are you Johnny? There was one guy named Johnny, but he was a total geek. He always had food in his braces. Answer me, Debbie, who's Johnny? Oh, God, this is like that movie, Citizen Kane, you know, where you later find out Rosebud was a sled, but we'll never know who Johnny was because, like, she's dead.
Remember that? When I was a kid, I thought that was the most hilarious thing ever. I always wanted to do that Jerry Blank kind of, it's hilarious, but I don't think I quite get it. But it's still funny, right? Thanks. What is up with me today? I'm in a good mood, I guess. Let's see, show notes. What am I doing next? Okay, we talked about listeners. Two things I want to talk to you about. One is, as most of you know, I work with kids. I don't want to really go too much detail into that, even though it'd probably be pretty easy to, like, track me down. But I had this moment today where these two little kids in my class, maybe it's a class, who knows, were hugging. It was just these two little kids, and they had just met today. And I had this moment of, like, what's up? What? That one of the cool things about being with kids is that you can look at them and be like, look, they just like each other and they want a hug. Grown-ups don't do that. So, here's my deal. It's totally cheesy, and I don't care. I'm having a hug-a-thon. That's right. Right here on Mikey Pod on the Bayou, it's hug-a-thon week, month. Hug somebody that you don't usually hug. God, it feels so cheesy to say that, but I'm serious. Like, what's the problem? Hey, what's up? Nice to meet you. Hug. Do that this week and report back to me either on the visa, either on a voicemail or you can go to Tenko. The voicemail is 206-339-6682. You can call in and leave a message there, or you can MikeyPod@gmail.com. I'm eating a piece of pizza. Let me do a little match for you. That was weak. I guess I'm not a lesbian. Okay. So do that. Really, I'm serious. I'm trying to get you people involved in this show. There are 79 people who subscribe to this show, and I know of maybe 10. Who are the rest of you? Next topic. I'm raising money because I'm going to be the podcaster for the National Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty. They're having a... why don't I edit the show? They're having a conference. That's the word I'm looking for. I took my ADD medication and everything today, I swear. These are the moments when I was a kid that my mom would be like, did you take your pill? God. Anyway, that's a whole nother subject. Yes. So far, you guys have given $350 to this fund. I'm trying to raise money so that I can record this in a really professional manner and be able to have something that they can use for their archives, and also possibly pass out or, you know, allow other radio stations or that sort of thing to use. So there you go. I did a whole big thing about it. If you scroll back in the blog at www.mikeypod.com, you can see, you can hear my begging little story. So I won't go on about it any further. I appreciate the donations, even like $15, $20. The fact that you guys believe in what I'm doing and are just willing to do that, it's a really cool feeling. I hate saying that, but it is. It's just you know, when you realize, well, I started doing this podcast just because it was a fun little hobby, and it was a fun hobby. I'll take out the word little, but and then I started feeling motivated to cover some things, and the fact that I'm feeling this passion about doing this, and that you guys are backing me up, even if it's just with support, it's really an awesome, amazing feeling. So I appreciate you guys being there. Even just the fact, you guys that are listening and haven't emailed me yet, I'd love to hear from you. But if I don't, I can look at my little subscriptions, and there are 79 people who are subscribed to the show. So thanks. Next up, I've got an interview with Dominic Walsh. I've known him for a number of years, actually. A whole bunch of people from the ballet I was connected with probably like over 10 years ago. And he was one of them. I had a really good friend, Courtney, who actually moved away. She lives in Seattle now. God, I know a lot of people in Seattle I need to go visit. But anyway, this is Dominic Walsh. He is a badass. I say that a lot. But if the ass fits. Yeah, so we went to Brazil, which seems to be my spot for interviewing. And so here comes Mr. Dominic Walsh. He's talking about his dance company, and I put up a video, talked about it already, but you can scroll back if you didn't see it. It's still up there on the blog. And here's my interview. Okay, I'm at Brazil with Dominic Walsh from Dominic Walsh Dance Theater, and with Domenico, what's your last name?
Luciano,
who's all a member of the company. And we're all just hanging out, eating breakfast. So I guess maybe give a little history about how you started the company.
All right. Well, I had been with the Houston Ballet for a long time, from 89. And in 2002, I started to get hungry for a couple things. One was to dance more experimental work that, you know, Houston Ballet couldn't really provide for me. And then also to develop my choreographic voice with some of the independent contemporary dancers in town that I thought were really, really interesting dancers and didn't really have a place to work. So in 2002, I started this company, and I worked with some of the dancers from the Houston Ballet that shared my my feeling about wanting to do more experimental things, and also grabbed some of these independent dancers that I thought were pretty interesting. So so we started the company, and really for 2 years, I kind of did double duty. I stayed with the Houston Ballet until 2004, until June of 2004, and did the company as well. So now we're in the beginning of our fourth season.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And you've totally left the Houston Ballet within,
June.
The past 2 years?
Yeah, in June of 2004. So okay. It's been about a year and a half almost.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's been great. It's been great, you know? There wasn't anything scary about it. And what's been great about it, too, is the variety. I had a really long contract there, and occasionally I was able to get out of my contract to go and do guesting engagements or go choreograph ballets, but it was difficult to work that out.
Yeah.
So since I left, it's been great. Like, I went to New York and worked with American Ballet Theater Studio Company, and I've been to Japan a couple of times, and I mean, really, I spend about 5 months of the year outside of Houston. So the variety's been awesome. And I'm still young enough where I can still dance and still learn things as a dancer, as well as a choreographer.
So being a part of the Houston Ballet, the season was so demanding of your time that it was not something that you could get away from?
Yeah. It was just it's a 44-week contract, and sometimes 8 or 9 hour days every day. So, I needed my freedom, and I got very, very hungry for what else is out there. You know, there's stuff going on there, and I'm not a part of it, you know, and I want to know. And I want to bring it to Houston. You know, I think Houston could develop an appetite for it. I have a lot of friends that left Houston and went to Europe and danced. And so I've been in touch with all of them for the past 15 years. And so I've gotten to see some of the things that they're exposed to and what they've experienced. And you know, there's some pretty badass stuff out there that we don't really know about yet.
But it seems like Houston has a pretty big dance community, and I haven't really been in any other city to experience what that's like. But to me, it seems like, in comparison to what we have going on music-wise and that sort of thing, the dance has just a tremendous community. Is that... Am I...
I think you're right. I mean, I think that, like, when Ben Stevenson came to Houston in 76, Houston Ballet was very small, very regional. And over the 27 years that he built the company, I mean, he built dance culture. And I think that a lot of, you know, there's been a lot of other modern dance companies and other sort of... you know, experimental performance art, dance companies that have really grown an audience. So I do think that there is a good audience here, yeah.
Yeah. And just so much independent. I mean, for some reason to me, it seems like there's so many independent dancers, like you mentioned, and it's just it's almost overwhelming to me, the number of different things that are going on.
Yeah.
But so why is it? Is it? Do you think Ben Stevenson really had like a huge part in that happening, or? Or are there any other things that contributed to that?
I mean, he definitely had a huge part in raising the level of culture and quality of the art of ballet in Houston, no doubt. And so I think that by that happening, you're developing an audience and you're developing taste in your audience members. And, you know, oh, I like to see the contemporary stuff. I like to see the classical stuff. And then, you know, so... I mean, I do think that, he created culture of dance in the city.
So making the decision to start your own company, was that, how did that happen? Seems like kind of a broad question, but how did that happen?
I think that one thing that really propelled it were these independent dancers. That you know, I would do projects, little projects here and there, and I would use them, and then they wouldn't have any work. They wouldn't be able to dance for like another 6 months until I had time to do that.
The Green Eggs or the Benedicts?
Yeah.
Oh, number one.
I think we both did actually.
Okay, that's true.
Oh, I'm number one. Yeah.
Okay. Number one.
Thanks.
So yeah, I guess it was. A lot of it had to do with that. Like, that's what really kind of pushed me. I kind of felt like there really needs to be a place for people like this, you know, who have really strong classical training, you know, and don't really have a place to go.
Yeah.
And also just to kind of create a new vision.
All right, food is here. We can take a break. Okay, we all just ate, and now we're going to talk about what's coming up in the coming season. So last night was a performance. Can you, like, talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. It was called Tequila Nefesh, which is translated from Hebrew to English would be a calling to the soul. It's like a calling to the awareness of the self. And this was a very interesting project. Rabbi Roy Walters is a fan of dance, and he followed my career and as a dancer and a choreographer at the Houston Ballet, and I made quite a few ballets for the Houston Ballet as well when I got started as a choreographer, and so he has a son who dances in New York, and so dance has sort of been in their family for quite a while, and he said his lifelong dream was to be able to commission a work around the Jewish faith and the music, so he proposed this idea to me 2 years ago, and last night it kind of came to fruition. It was about a 35-minute piece, and I used all different chants and musical arrangements from a female tabla player from Israel to Max Brooks's Cole Nudre for orchestra and cello, and then we had a live cantor on stage who did a couple chants. So it was a really beautiful event. It was great. I mean, they paid, you know, they commissioned the whole thing, and they built the stage, and they put up lights, and they paid for the costumes and the rehearsals, and So it's really beautiful, and we're hoping to build it as part of an American cultural evening, which would have four different ballets focusing on different religions in America. And we're actually applying to the National Endowment for the Arts to take it to Belgium.
Oh,
for
cool.
07. So it'd be great to see these things have a life of their own. And really, that's something that I like. That's one of the things that keeps me in this country, is that idea. And I'd like to see that idea focused on and celebrated so that it doesn't ever get lost.
The idea of the different spiritual belief systems?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what we did last night. Next, we've got a tour to Monterrey, Mexico. So that's our first international tour as the whole company. And that'll be at the end of October. And then we have the Illumination Project. This is our fourth year. It's the very first thing that we did in December of 2002 when we opened the company. And it's been really great. We started at Diverse Works for the first 2 years, which is a small little black box theater here in town. And then we moved it to the Hobby Center last year, and we'll be there again this year. And it's just a beautiful event. We have like 10 different companies, mostly from Houston, theater companies, dance companies, music companies, and also from abroad. We usually have some guests in from wherever, New York this year. And each piece is about 8 minutes. It just runs all the way through, and at the end we do a really beautiful, simple candle lighting ceremony. And our beneficiaries are the pediatric board at Baylor. And they do amazing work for children with AIDS, and also the Omega House.
Okay.
So we've got that on December 1st. We do that every year on December 1st. Then after that, I'm directing my first opera, which is going to be Aces and Galatea, and I'm being commissioned by Mercury Baroque, which is a partner of ours.
Okay.
They're a beautiful Baroque ensemble, 15-member orchestra. So that should be very interesting, very interesting. And then Ballet Florida is doing one of my ballets, one that I did for my company in January. It's called Bello, and it's to Handel arias, sung by a countertenor in town who's absolutely amazing.
Oh, wow, what is his name?
His name is Gerard...
sorry.
Yeah.
I'll look it up and I can put it on the site.
No.
Okay.
That's terrible. I should really know how to pronounce this by now.
I'll look it up and at least
check
it out
on the website. Yeah, there you go. So that's been a really great experience working with that company. And then we have another tour to San Antonio, and at the end of the year we close with our biggest event that we've done in our history, which is a full-length Romeo and Juliet. Again, we're working with Mercury Baroque, and they're arranging a new score by Vivaldi. I'm working with Rob Bundy. He's going to co-direct it with me, the artistic director of stages here in town. And some of the characters are actors, and some are singers, and most are dancers. And
yeah.
We have a beautiful designer, costume designer from New York, who's actually from Verona originally. And I worked with him on my American Ballet Theater piece. And we've got a beautiful set designer from Mexico working on the project, and some videography work, and it's
nice.
Going to be really beautiful. That's going to be at the Wortham Theater.
Okay.
So that's May 19th and 20th. No. Go easy on me. That's just the Cullen, the 1,100 seat theater.
Yeah, which is still a big place.
Yeah, it is. So that's going to be really, really exciting. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
And then I've got some things in Japan. Yeah, I'm choreographing a new ballet in Japan in honor of the Prince of Japan, who just passed away. So his wife, the Princess, has been very involved in creating the synopsis and the score. And so I'll be doing that in March.
So how do you make a connection like that? Like, how did that
come
about?
Well, they hired me years ago as a dancer, as a guest artist, to come and dance with them. And there's actually two companies in Tokyo that I work with on a pretty regular basis as a dancer. And so then they asked to see my work. So I showed them some of my work, and they asked, they have something, they're commissioning me to do something in March of 06 and also March of 07. So I'll be pretty busy over there.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's good.
Good.
So, What else? Yeah, so we have new studio space now. We finally got our own space over here on Diamond Beach. Beautiful location. We've got 4 offices, and we're building out a dance studio.
Nice.
Well, yeah. Big, beautiful windows, and so we finally have a home to call our own.
Very nice. Yeah. Will you be doing classes there as well?
Yeah, we'll be doing class there every morning when we're in town, and rehearsals there. And
okay.
Yeah, it's coming together.
Yeah, nice.
Coming together.
Is that it? Like you're not doing anything.
I know. I should probably have a piece of paper in front of me.
No, well, that's okay.
Well, it's always like you need to cover all these.
Well, this is such a casual thing. I'll put a link, of course, to your website and all that stuff, and on mine.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay.
Awesome.
Well, thanks for taking the time to be interviewed today. And I'll talk to y'all later.
Hi, everyone. This is Seth.
And this is Jessica.
And we're from the Worst Music You've Ever Heard podcast. We like to flip it, roll it, smack it on down.
We like to chat with friends, play some music, review some movies. It's all good.
Holler over at whyme.paintthesky.org. Won't you be our podcast friend?
I'm always in the search for a new music podcast because I think I really am making the shift toward only playing PodSafe music. So while I'm doing that, I'm kind of tracking down some new things. So I actually really like that one. That's why I tracked down their promo. And there are a couple of others I'm totally digging. Illumination Audio, Kick, Sit, and I love when I try to be all like cool or whatever. So Illumination Audio is great. And the Tartan Podcast is good too. There's this band that I'm totally in love with from Scotland, which is where the Tartan Podcast comes from. So I'm going to, as soon as I get their CD, I just ordered it this weekend. There's a song that you're going to love. Dominic Walsh, thank you for being on the show today. You know what, guys? I think that I am officially ready to phase out that type of interviewing in Brazil. I was listening to it, and it's just too noisy. It seemed really kind of nice, and sometimes it does, but I think I'm growing out of it. What do you think? Do you like those? Do you like having the background noise and the ambience? Or ambiance, whichever you like. I don't think I like it so much anymore, but I'd love to hear your feedback as always. MikeyPod@gmail.com. Okay, the show notes are a key. Here we go. All right, there's the interview. I did the promo. Oh, Bicycle Mark. Buddy. Yeah, this is hot off the press, actually. We got this. Bicycle Mark got this together. Just last night. Oh my gosh, where is it? Oh my lord. You know what we're going to do instead? What did I do? You know what? Here's a song. Let's hear some Sufjan Stevens. I don't know why I can't say that name, and I think I mispronounced his first name. We're going to do that, and while I'm playing this song, I'll track down the Bicycle Mark thing. Where did I put that dang thing? Here it is. This song is called Chicago, and it's by that guy whose name I can't seem to spit out of my mouth.
Go, drove to Chicago. All things know. We sold our clothes to the state. I don't mind, I don't mind. I made a lot of mistakes in my mind. Friend. slept in parking lots. I don't mind. I was in love with a place in my mind. In my mind, I made a lot of mistakes. Crying in the van with my friend, it was for freedom from myself and from the land. I made a lot of mistakes. I made a lot of mistakes. I made a lot of mistakes. I made a lot of mistakes.
I just picked that album up the day before yesterday. Come On, Feel the Illinois is the name of the album. It's Sufjan Stevens. Correct me if I'm pronouncing that wrong. Shall I make another call to you to contact me? MikeyPod@gmail.com. Or you can call the voicemail. It's not pulled up right now, and, well, I'm okay with that. I've already said it about 19 times. So, yes, here's a Bicycle Mark. Sorry, guys. Here we go. Hello? It's taking a second. It's a pretty big file. Do, 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 do. I didn't mean for it to open up in iTunes, but I guess that will
it's
do.
It's time for Activism 101.
Oh, my God. It's not from Max Headroom is what it sounds like. Forget it. Good Lord. Stop. Stop. Jesus Christ. Sorry. Well, I'm giving you that sort of raw feel. Sorry, I opened it with iTunes by mistake, which doesn't seem to work so well with the available memory on my computer. Okay. Dude, I'm bombing. So bad. Where is it? Come on now. Why do you want to do me like that? Jesus Christ. I'm really tempted to pause. Where is it? Oh my God. Okay, I'm pausing the show. You heard it here first. Oh God. I think my whole computer is locking up. Can you still hear this? Is this it? Oh my Lord in heaven. This is the part where I start trying to sort of make shit up. Oh, here we go. Yeah, so smoothly that opened up. God damn it.
It's time for Activism 101 with Bicycle Mark, an American expatriate living in Amsterdam. This is a journal of activism and those who dare to make a difference in the world. And now, Bicycle Mark.
Hello again, Mikey Pod listeners. This is Bicycle Mark with another edition of Activism 101, the segment where we look into activism and its roots across the world and including the United States. Today, I want to talk about the MOVE bombing in Philadelphia on May 13th, 1985. MOVE was an organization that fought for black rights, imprisonment, or fighting against the imprisonment of black activists, and was led by a man named John Africa, who advocated the back-to-nature way of life and was suspicious of the government that had so long oppressed poor people. Now, MOVE was very famous for fighting against police brutality in Philadelphia and I think around the country, but especially in Philly. And the police, the FBI, the ATF, had long wanted to get their hands on the organization. And on May 13th, 1985, they led a siege like has never been seen before in the United States.
What this was about was the government's attempt to silence our protest over the ongoing imprisonments of the MOVE 9, our nine MOVE sisters and brothers that have been in prison since 1978 unjustly for a murder they didn't commit. And the government sent hundreds of cops out to our home to silence our protest, to stop us from exposing them. That's what the May 13th bombing was about. After turning deluges on us, after using tear gas against us, after shooting over 10,000 rounds of bullets in on us within 90 minutes, they decided that wasn't enough. And they concocted two bombs. They wanted a backup bomb. And they got a state police helicopter, flew over our home with no warning at all, no announcement, no nothing, and dropped that bomb on the roof of our home. The bomb ignited a fire, which the fire department, police officials, all officials, refused to put out.
That's Ramona Africa speaking on Democracy Now! In the year 2000 on the 20th anniversary of the MOVE bombing. You heard correct. The Philadelphia police, with the help of federal authorities, dropped two firebombs on an apartment complex in Philly because neighbors complained. The truth was, this movement was dangerous because they were making change. They were advocating change, and they were not going along with the government story, which is reminiscent of something we probably need now, and the government would still be capable of today. Why do I bring this up? Well, it is a great moment, or a turning point, I would say, in the history of activism, and it reminds us of what this government, or any government, is capable of.
Hello, Are you positive that you told the mayor that you were going to use explosive charges?
Yes, sir, I did.
Did the mayor seem to you to be paying attention to what you were saying?
Yes, sir.
Did he?
Because he asked me if it was safe.
Did you know prior to hearing the automatic gunfire that the police would be in possession of and possibly using automatic weapons?
I knew they would have M16s.
Did you know they'd have Uzis?
I did not.
Did you know they'd have 50 caliber weapons present?
I did not.
Okay. Did you know that they'd have an anti-tank gun?
I did not.
Did you know they'd have an M60?
I did not.
We intend to evict from the house, we intend to evacuate from the house, and we intend to seize control of the house. We will do it by any means necessary.
Audio from the MOVE bombing on May 13th, 1985. As a postscript, the city of Philadelphia has agreed, or had agreed a few years ago, to pay a couple of hundreds of thousands of dollars in damages to the two survivors, Ramona, the wife of John Africa, and the daughter, Birdie Africa, who still live today and are still active in the MOVE organization, MOVE.org. You should be able to find them. For Activism 101, I'm Bicycle Mark. See you next time.
Thank you, Mark. Okay, this is why this is important and why I'm really glad that Mark's willing to do this. I didn't know that. Okay, I am bad at keeping up with the news, but I took some history classes, and from what I remember, that wasn't ever mentioned. Why? I'll leave it at that. Thanks, Mark. I was stressing out a few minutes ago about the time of this show, and you know what? Turn it off. If it's too long, honey, just turn it off. You can listen to the rest of it later. Or whatever you need to do, but I got a couple more things I'd like to do. And one of them is to hear from my pal Lawrence Simon, who has a birthday coming up. Yeah, that was real important to share. But I believe it's next week. Here's Lawrence Simon.
Action! Good morning to you, everybody. It's time for a Mikey Pod exclusive. A new 100-word story from Lawrence Simon.
Lawrence Simon.
From isfullofcrap.com. Isfullofcrap.com.
Numbers by Lawrence Simon. I'm on a diet. My doctor says my numbers are too high. Triglycerides, cholesterol, weight, you name it. It's too high. Crawdad season is still on. I cannot resist the call of the big red mud bug over Raging Cajun. It beckons. I must answer, even in my weakened, salad-eating, no-animal-fats state. Walking to and from the place is exercise, right? And a crawdad isn't exactly a thick steak or a pork chop, right? Instead of denying myself the occasional feast, perhaps I should engage in another form of denial. This number has been temporarily disconnected. Hello, Lipitor.
Thank you, Lawrence Simon. Oh, God, of 100-word stories. He emailed me back, and I should have pulled it up. I'm not even going to try because my computer is being frightfully, no bueno. But he told me how many of those stories he actually writes, and now that I think about it, I'm probably inaccurate again, but it seems like he said something like at least one a day. That's a lot of writing and extreme creativity right here. Extreme. It's time for extreme creativity with Lawrence Simon. Okay, last thing I'd like to do, I have some listener voicemails. Well, they're not that long. I was going to save them for next week, but let's not. Here's my pal Curtis in Arizona.
Well, I don't have a fax to send, but I was under the impression that this was for the Mikey Pod on the Bayou show. Basically, I'm calling because I was forced to call so that Michael can have some, as he puts it, what was the quote here, fucking listener response. So I hope this will satisfy your need to have some listener response. No, but in all seriousness, I do enjoy your show, and please keep them coming. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Mikey Pot on the Bayou. Hey, this is Adam, your voice guy. I just wanted to be the first, second, or now I'll settle for the third person to leave a voice message on the Mikey Pod Show hotline. I just got done listening to your whole show. I listened to part of it this morning, and then I finished listening to it this evening. And, hey, it kicks ass, dude. It's cool. Not just because I'm part of it, but maybe it has a little bit to do with it. No, really, it's good. It really puts it all together, and it sounds great. Anyway, I do have a couple of comments, though, but I can save those for later. Okay, well, yeah, you know where to find me, and keep rocking. Party on. Bye.
Oh, yeah. Don't you want to be like the cool kids? Curtis and Adam called. Now it's your turn. Let me close these up. The number to call to have your voicemail played live on the air, sort of, is 206-339-6682. All right, y'all. Thanks for working with me today. Here's the last thing I've got. And this is something new. And I may... Well, we'll see what happens. My friend Aaron Stallings and I are going to do a cabaret show at Ovations on the 22nd of October. Please come. I think tickets are like $20. We'll be playing like two sets, probably for around 2 hours total. Ovations is a nice nightclub in Times Village or whatever. Rice Village. What is up? It's almost comical at this point. If you're still listening, thank you. And I wonder how many subscribers are going to vanish after this show. But here's what I wanted to do. We had this idea of the show that we had just, the song we had just started rehearsing. It's called With So Little to Be Sure Of, and it's from the musical Anyone Can Whistle, which I think is one of the most underrated musicals of all time. It's Stephen Sondheim. How can you say this is one of the most underrated musicals of all time and not sound like a total homo? I'm not sure how. So here's what I'm going to do. Erin sounds awesome because she's a singer. I'm playing the piano. And part of what's been good about recording this has been that I got to listen to what it sounds like and sort of think about some tweaking things with my playing. I feel like it's a little bombastic at this point. And there are some places where my voice, the pitch isn't quite right, and it's almost painful. And there is one little spot I'm probably going to drop in and give you a little comment about. But I thought it might be interesting for you to listen and see what the process of this is like. I may not play the whole thing. We'll see what happens. We'll see how long I can bear it. It's got some nice moments, but it's also got some frightening moments. Like toward the beginning, I'll probably comment in there. I started singing the wrong octave, and I keep doing that. And the beginning of the line is great. I can sing it, but then it gets super high and it's insane. So I tried to cover it up by falsettoing it, and then all of a sudden, so you'll love it. Here we go. This was, I believe it was Sunday.
Okay, now we're recording.
Yay!
Okay, I'm here with Miss Erin Stallings. We're rehearsing for a cabaret show we're doing at Ovations on the
22nd of October.
It's the 22nd for sure?
Yes.
I had it down on some other date, but I'm glad to know that it's the 22nd. Okay, so
that's
we're going to...
Great.
Just to sort of let you guys in on the process of what it's like for like a rehearsal. This is the second night that we've rehearsed this actual song.
Yes.
And I don't really sing and play the piano very well.
But you're doing it good.
I'm doing it today. I don't think putting it on the drum would be good. Can you hold it in your hand?
Yes.
And like...
I'll hold it away.
Yeah, but it should be close to our mouths, sort of, but not too close to the piano.
The microphone on both ends?
Yeah.
Oh.
We could be in stereo.
That's awesome.
Okay, this song is called With So Little to Be Sure Of, and it's by Stephen Sondheim. For the musical Anyone Can Whistle.
Yes.
I'm a little gassy, which is one of my favorite musicals.
I don't know it
underrated.
At all.
But you do like
but
this
I know
song.
That this song and the main song, Anyone Can Whistle, and those are both excellent.
Yeah.
I like
and are
them.
We doing both of them still?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing both the songs in the show. So, without further ado, we're going to just let you hear like the process of where the song is tonight, which is the 1st of October. So we've got basically 21 more days.
Yes, to get it perfect. It's already on its way.
Yeah. It's on its way. We just started getting there, though.
With so little to be sure.
That's so bad. Okay. I'll sit up. Okay, I can't bear it. I can't stand hearing myself sing. Let's skip forward. Oh, God, I'm still going. I'm going to go back. I'm going to forward to the part where we're both singing. Yo, you. And we're almost there. Yeah. Good Lord, man. Shut up. Okay, here we go. And now it's so painful when Aaron starts singing because she sings so much better than me. Here she is.
Marvelous moment. I need you more than I can say. I need you more than just today. I guess I need you.
It's moments. It was a moment.
It was a marvelous moment.
Something like that. Depending on how you define marvelous.
Yeah.
Anyway, maybe we'll update you next week on how it sounds in a week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Should be good.
Say goodnight.
Goodnight. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Mikey Pod on the Bayou with Michael Herron. Mikey wants your input to the show. Do you have a comment about something that was said on the show? A review or a promotion of a cultural event, especially in the Houston area? Or you just want to say hi? Email is MikeyPod@gmail.com. The Mikey Pod Show hotline, 206-339-6682. And record it down for all to hear. See you next time right here for Mikey Pod on the Bayou. MikeyPod.com.